You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We've spoken to Jackie Blue and Jan Logie from the Green Party about this domestic violence victims protection members bill. So first up is Jan Logie. We kind of talk about the general mechanics of the bill, and then with Jackie Blue we talk about the wider kind of culture shift. Corporates are getting involved before the government does. So, you know, all in all, an interesting all-up discussion. But first up, Jan Logie from the Green Party.
Can anyone explain why the modern-day Wales are so big?
The Wire.
First of all, just to kind of lay the background, what is the purpose of this bill for you? What do you want to achieve with it?
Well, there's a few key things, actually. So the primary one is to put in some workplace protection for victims of domestic violence so that they can keep their jobs, either in a violent relationship or as they're transitioning to safety. And the second kind of part of it is to be able to support employers to be able to reduce the costs of the impact of domestic violence on their workplace. And that's what this bill does. And I think it's about us as a country all being able to work together to be able to address this epidemic of violence, really.
And so what, in terms of how you go about helping businesses to kind of manage this cost, in terms of the mechanical provisions of it, what would this provide?
So this will provide up to 10 days leave a year for victims of domestic violence to be able to deal with if their partner won't give them the keys to be able to get to work on time, or they're needing to go to court to deal with get protection orders or deal with some of those, you know, things that happen when people leave. And the benefit of that for the employer is to have those provisions in there is that they can keep good staff through that process because, you know, I know from having worked in refuge and actually been in the workplace that it's sometimes without this understanding in the workplace, it can be very easy for victims to have to leave their jobs because they don't have the time to be able to deal with everything that's tied up in leaving.
One of the most difficult parts of it is that it does require the employee to say to their employer, I need help, or, you know, I need time off, or this is going on for me. I mean, if domestic violence continues to be hugely stigmatized and people are hiding what's going on for them, I mean, do you worry that people won't be taking advantage or using the provisions of this bill if it does become law because of that social stigma and that fear is still there?
Well, I think, you know, that's definitely a reality at the moment. And my personal hope is that we can help destigmatize it by making it more normal to talk about it and for people to recognize that if they need some assistance, that actually our society is set up to help them and that we're not going to blame them or make them lose their job because of the behaviour of their abusive partner. So I hope eventually this will really help change that culture. And I think ACC potentially has a role in providing some resources to be able to support that conversation happening positively. We also know, you know, that actually at the moment the Family Violence Death Review Committee said to me that sometimes when there have been deaths, the only people outside the immediate family that have known about the abuse were workmates. So it's absolutely happening, and it's having an impact on workplaces at the moment. So this is about enabling those employers who know something's happening as well to have the systems to be able to respond when at the moment they might feel like they haven't got a clue and just don't know what to do.
Obviously that this is an employment matter, you know, this is an omnibus bill which makes a number of changes to leave entitlements and things. Obviously you have to put a cap on, and so that's a 10-day cap. I do worry that I mean, if you, you know, say you're running late to work, you can't get to work that day, your partner's hidden the keys, you know, whatever. I mean, that happens a couple times. All of a sudden, you know, you're heading towards running out of leave. You have to go to court. That drags on. Something happens. Oh, babysitter, whatever it is. Yeah. You know, and then you're running out of days. How? I mean, there's obviously a line. You know, you can, you have to limit the days, also this is life. You know, how do you make sure that fits?
Well, but the encouraging bit is that these provisions have been brought in quite a few workplaces overseas. Australia, they've had really strong uptake of these kind of provisions. And what we've seen from those experiences that it's actually quite rare for victims to take the full 10 days. So that's the good news. It seems to meet the need.
Would there be, obviously, you know, we're talking about this being part of a culture shift in society and all of that. Obviously, this leave is great, but, you know, if somebody is repeatedly taking, you know, needs to take time off because they can't get to work because their partner won't let them out of the house, whatever it is, then, you know, that happens a couple of times and, you know, you'd be hoping that person would be going, oh, maybe this is quite bad. You know, maybe I need to be looking for support to get out of this situation. Mm-hmm. Is this part of a kind of wider package of better funding, better access to services in terms of helping people get out of, you know, women's refuge is great, but funding is forever an issue in this area.
And it shouldn't be. You know, I think it's absolutely outrageous how underfunded women's refuges are, and you know how they haven't had a funding increase since, you know, many of them since 2008, and in the face of increasing demand that they're having to cut back services, that's completely unacceptable. The problem is I can't address that through a members bill, and this, I do believe that there's a very strong argument for us to be having the discussion that ACC should be being able to fund refuges or other services to be able to provide some of that support to the workplaces. So this can actually possibly help strengthen them as well.
I mean, in terms of bringing ACC in, I mean, it stands for the Accident Compensation Corporation. You know, they are essentially an insurance company for New Zealanders. They do provide some funding for counselling or for mental health services for a particular kind of, you know, sexual assault or you know, this kind of sensitive claims. How do you imagine ACC fitting? Because it does seem like it would require a new mandate.
Well, not necessarily, because they have a role in violence prevention or injury prevention. And we know that injury from domestic violence, and we have very little research in New Zealand, but there's comparable research in Australia that shows that the injury and health costs are very significant, so that we are paying on that level. So I do think there is an argument to be made. Obviously, you have to have the proper policy discussion around this, but there is an argument to be made that this fits within their mandate of injury prevention. And that we also do know that within workplaces, that the impacts of domestic violence can be a health and safety hazard. And that at the moment, and that I would argue is covered by the law at the moment, but that employers aren't equipped to be able to identify it as a hazard or work out what remedial measures to put in place.
I do think that, speaking of employers, do you think, are you expecting that there will be any sort of, backlash seems quite strong. Obviously, we're talking about domestic violence victims and, you know, people, you assume people will be relatively empathetic. Yeah. But especially for small business owners, you know, there's X many sick days, domestic leave here, this kind of, you know, parental leave. It feels like all of the leave things are coming up. And while that's good for, you know, society as a whole, and that's good for our culture, you know, increasing paid parental leave, I love it. But, you know, at the end of the day, somebody in a small business will be sitting there going, oh, good God, how am I going to deal with this, you know? I've got three employees.
I've already had that response from somebody in the media. But I think the key message around this is that these provisions, if they're supported, will save them money. it will improve. And Suzanne Snively, who used to be a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, did the research around the economic impacts of domestic violence in workplaces and what these provisions, what they could mean in terms of productivity in the workplace. And it shows that they can save workplaces money because the abuse is taking a cost on their workplace at the moment.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire.
That was Jan Logie from the Green Party speaking on her just drawn members' bill, the Domestic Violence Victims Protection Bill. After the break, we have Jackie Blue, Human Rights Commissioner, talking about the same bill to really round out the conversation there. The Human Rights Commission has come out, you know, welcoming this new members' bill seeking to improve the legal protections for victims of domestic violence. Mm-hmm. It's been put forward by the Green Party, and you know, I've spoken with Jan Logie about that today. I mean, for the Human Rights Commission, how is this framed as a human rights issue that comes within your purview?
Well, first of all, every person has the right to feel safe wherever they are, whether it's at home or in the workplace or going about their business. The issue here, I think, is that family violence is so common that employers need to assume that they have victims as well as perpetrators in their workforce. And particularly for family violence victims, they'll take their trauma to work, and they will often be disengaged. There'll be lack of productivity, and they're at greater risk of more accidents. So, even basically employers are paying for that loss of productivity. Not only is it the right thing to do, but it's also the smart thing for employers to get behind this bill and enact supports for their employees, because you'll be able to be literally life-changing and it could even be life-saving for some employees to get protection from the workplace.
Now, Jan Logie has said that, you know, the Family Violence Death Review Committee are saying that one of the only, you know, places outside of the immediate family that are aware of what's going on for victims prior to, you know, their ultimate passing is the workplace, you know, because you bring this trauma, you bring what's going on in the rest of your life to work. Do you think that recognising this, and when Jan Logie is talking about a culture shift, is that where you think this bill is going to go as well?
I do, and often the workplace is the only safe place that some of the victims feel safe in, and you're absolutely right. The only other people that may know of the violence is the colleagues at work, and they are often not uncertain what to do. And when the worst happens and someone dies from violence, they think, well, we could have done something, we could have stepped in, and they feel very helpless. So I think this is going to be a really good move. I'm delighted it's been pulled. I think we need to have a really robust select committee process where all stakeholders can contribute. I know Jan says her bill's a few years old now that needs updating as far as legislation goes. So I'm quite confident that a select committee process will make it an even better bill.
And I mean, so the Human Rights Commission will be submitting as part of this. You guys have said that you'll be doing that. In terms of, you know, a robust select committee process, what are you envisaging? I mean, who do you want to hear from to make sure that this all works out?
Well, we do have we have a handful of really great companies who have already adopted a family violence in the workplace policy, and they can see the benefit to the company and to their workers particularly. Like, we've got the likes of Vodafone, The Warehouse, who actually started all of this a couple of years ago. They're one of the first corporates to actually bring in a policy, and they were very courageous doing that. More recently, we've had ANZ and Countdown, the biggest employer in New Zealand, come on board, and Auckland University. We've only had one public service department who has adopted a family violence in the workplace, and that's our spy agency, the GCSB. I would love to see the government and public sector leading in this. And I know that you laughed about the spy agency. But
it just seems like a weird one, of all of the agencies.
I'll tell you how it came about, because I did ask. But 70 of their 700 employees are public service members, and it was the public service union that actually negotiated clauses in their members' contract. But the GCSB decided to roll it out to all of their employees, and I think good on them for doing that.
That is incredible. I mean, half of the laugh is going, well, the GCSB is, you know, has done something cool. Because, I mean, they're often being dragged through the media for whatever reason.
And I applaud them for doing that. And I'm going to be seeing Peter Hughes, who's the State Services Commissioner, to try and encourage that this is something that could be rolled out throughout the public service. They have to be commended. But, look, the private sector is doing really well. They see the benefit. It's a no-brainer for the private sector, and I'm hoping that the public sector will get on board and also include these types of policies and call the policy for what it is. Don't have it buried in a health and safety policy or buried in a special leave policy. Let's call it for what it is. We have a problem. We need the world and our family violence stats. Let's call it what it is and do something about it.
It does seem like one of these instances where clearly this is where, you know, what you want to do morally and what is economically efficient all, you know, comes together in this beautiful kind of synergy, and corporates are out there doing it before the government has caught up. Do you think, as part of which seems, you know, backwards, you know, you think a culture shift should be driven by, you know, in these kind of areas where we do have a massive, you know, nationwide problem, should be being driven by the government. But I was, you know, talking to Jan Logie, we don't have enough funding for things like Women's Refuge. You know, it's all well and good corporates getting involved, right. but if the government isn't stepping in and you know, letting people access these services, do you think that this needs to be part of a wider, really serious look at how we fund these sectors and whether or not we have the wraparound services?
Yeah, oh, definitely. Now, the government's doing some very good work in family violence. It's got two ministers, Amy Adams and Anne Tolley, who I really cannot... I've got to give credit where credit's due. They are doing a magnificent job in getting the government agencies working together, and so they actually get whole of government sort of plans. But you're right, family violence is underreported, and quite frankly, if it was fully reported, the system wouldn't cope. And so we've got to make sure that we do have our refuges, and there are places where women can go and they have those supports. But and I'm sure that's part of the government plan. They're certainly, their plan to date has been widely applauded. We need to see how it rolls out, obviously, and we need to make sure that all those other sort of safety steps are in as well to support victims of family violence.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.